Greetings, listeners. Welcome to Soundbites. I'm Olana Khan, Associate Head of School, and I'm joined today by two esteemed faculty and staff members of our community. Corey Johnson has been a member of the community for 4 years. He is currently a second grade lead teacher. Welcome, Corey.
Thank you, Olana.
Also joining us is Jessie Blundell. Jessie is in her second year at PBS and oversees our literacy program as our literacy enrichment coordinator. Welcome.
Thanks, Olana.
Jessie, as parents and guardians, we might think we understand the benefits of reading out loud or listening to an audiobook with our child or children at home. These benefits can include spending time together, understanding and exploring different cultures, and helping to build empathy. In the classroom setting, what is a read aloud?
A read aloud is actually a name given to any text that's read aloud in the classroom. It could be fiction or nonfiction. And it usually happens whole group, and both the teacher and the student have specific roles during that time. So the teacher is responsible for reading the text and for planning places to stop for discussion. Usually during this time, teachers don't correct student ideas or even confirm student thinking. Rather, they facilitate peer-to-peer conversation using prompts and questions, and this practice promotes critical thinking and dialogue. During the same time, students are actively listening, they're engaging in conversations, they're making use of academic language to discuss their ideas, and most importantly, they're developing the emotional and cognitive flexibility to wrestle with some really complex and sometimes conflicting ideas.
Thanks for sharing a little bit about the roles of the teacher and the student and how read alouds are done at school. I was surprised to learn that reading aloud supports our young learners in writing. Can you please elaborate on how read alouds support teachers and learning and writing?
Sure. I think we all understand that read aloud supports students to learn to read, but it actually also has benefits for teaching writing. When we read aloud during the teaching of writing, we use what are called mentor texts. And mentor texts are used to give students a model of different strategies and craft moves they can use when they're practicing their own writing. So it's a way for students to borrow an author's approach while they're developing their own writerly voice. There's different kinds of things that students can borrow. For example, the way a text is structured in a particular genre, thinking about the beginnings and endings of pieces, different transition words and phrases, and organizational strategies like chapter headings or paragraphing as they get older. And then it can also be used to help understand how authors develop a story or a topic. And then finally, and maybe like least well understood, is the use of published work to help students understand writing conventions like punctuation and to help the reader understand how the reading should sound or how the book wants to be read.
It sounds like mentor texts help give students models that they can use to practice writing. Corey, can you tell us about how in second grade you might use read alouds and mentor texts to support the teaching of writing?
Yeah, so we do a lot about talking about these different ideas of craft moves and the way that authors do that, but sometimes that can feel really kind of up in the clouds. And so I think mentor texts really give, and read alouds give a really great opportunity to show concrete examples of how authors actually do that. So for example, we might talk about when authors are using comparisons and descriptive language to communicate an idea. I think another really important reason is that it can provide real-life examples of these mentor texts can be kind of inspirational for students trying to figure out new ways to express their own thoughts as they're going through our writer and reading and writing workshop. And having lots of different examples to pull from gives students just a plethora of examples that they can just mimic in their own writing and they can use to learn how to express those own ideas.
Earlier in our session, Corey had a chance to sit down with two wonderful second graders to speak about their experience putting some of the tools and methods we've discussed today into real practice. Let's listen in.
Hello, everyone. My name is Corey Johnson. I'm a second grade lead teacher, and I'm here with some wonderful PBS students. Would you like to each introduce yourselves?
My name is Izzy, and I'm in second grade East.
And my name is Ellie, and I'm also in second grade East.
Thank you. This year in second grade East, we've been doing a lot of work around reading and writing, and we've used different books to help us see examples of how authors use different craft moves in their writing. And we use those to try to help us in our own writing. So Izzy, I was wondering if you might give me an example, because we read Mercy Watson this year in our class. What were some ways that Mercy Watson, like some examples that you took from the text that really helped you in your writing this year?
So from Mercy Watson details, Eugenia did not put in her teeth. She went straight to the phone. And Mercy likes to sleep in the bed, not the barn. And she loves hot buttery toast, unlike usual pigs do.
So how did that help you in your writing?
To add details of what the characters were feeling, not just what they were doing.
We also were talking about playful language in our different books. And so, Ellie, I know we talked about Amelia Bedelia and how Amelia Bedelia uses lots of funny words to say things that she doesn't actually mean, like, how she says it. So can you give me some examples? Like, what did you take away from Mercy Watson? I mean, from Amelia Bedelia.
Well, like, in funny languages, I think, like, the boss said, hit the road. She's supposed to start driving, but she grabbed the stick and said, hit the road.
So how does that help you in your writing? Like, why do you think authors use that type of language?
Well, to keep them more interested or hook the reader.
We used also Owl Moon as one of our texts that we talked about a lot. So what were some of the things from Owl Moon that you thought really stuck with you that helped you in your writing?
I really think describing words helps me because, like, helps whoever's reading it will help them picture it. Also, like, interesting language, like the moon shone on his face like a silver mask.
So when we're doing read-alouds, we also have been starting a new read-aloud in class. Do you both remember what read-aloud we started doing?
Yes, it was The Wild Robot.
So what do you think of that book so far?
I think it's good because the author's using descriptive words and not just saying, like, the robot washed up on shore. They're saying, like, the robot washed up on shore on a big island with big waves and a bunch of other dead robots around her.
When an adult is reading to you or someone else is reading to you, what's something you really like about that?
They, like, use different tones of voice and read the book how it wants to be read. I like it because my mom likes reading, so we kind of feel connected together when we're reading because we both like it, and yeah, we're both reading at the same time.
That's exciting. So at home, do you do any read-alouds, like any favorite books maybe?
I like Charlotte Doyle. I also like just The Red Pyramid. And I like reading comics a lot, too. I like reading Chronicles of Narnia. And I also like reading comics and graphic novels because there's more pictures and you can, like, see what they mean. But you can also, in other, like, chapter books, you can focus more on how you think they should be looking and use your imagination.
Do your parents do anything special when they do read-alouds, too?
My dad sometimes changes his voice to read how the book wants to be read.
I noticed that you're using the phrase, how the book wants to be read. Could you tell us a little bit more about what you mean by that?
If there's a really exciting story that you're reading, like Mercy Watson to the Rescue, you don't want to just say, Mercy Watson ran out of the house and went to go to Baby Lincoln's house. And if it was like more of a, like, calm story, you don't want to go, like, the person was in bed and they're having a dream. So you want to put the parts together that you know, and then you want to see if you can try to make the story, like, match your voice with how the story is being read.
So how do you know, and Ellie, maybe you can answer it too, how do you know that how a story wants to be read?
Well, you know, because of the, like, what it says. Sometimes it does, like, question marks, exclamation marks, and, like, just punctuation. For example, like, if there's a question mark, it's like you're asking a question, like, what's your favorite pet? And, like, you kind of do a tone for the punctuation.
Do pictures help you figure out, too, how a book wants to be read?
Yes, because the expression on the character's face also looks like, if their eyebrows are high and their eyes are wide open, that probably means they're surprised. So you should read it in a little bit of like a surprised voice. Their eyebrows are kind of in a dished expression, with their lips are more like a downward expression. You could read it in about like a sad or calm voice.
Ellie, I saw you giving a silent connection when Izzy was saying that. You feel the same way?
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Ellie and Izzy today for spending time with us, offering the most valuable of student perspectives about how they incorporate some of the tools we've learned about into their everyday student experience. Well, Corey, I love your examples. It makes me think about my own days growing up reading Amelia Bedelia, and it makes me want to find those old copies that I might have lying around. And that brings me to a question I have for both of you. So I imagine parents and guardians at home are wondering how we can support our child or children, whether we're reading aloud to them or maybe listening to an audiobook. What are some discussion prompts we can use to talk about the book we might have just read or listened to with them?
It's a great question, and often parents will ask me if they have to have read all of the things that their children have read. And the answer is no, but it is useful to have a text that you are reading together or have listened to together so that you can have some of those deeper conversations. And my recommendations for parents is that they try to use really authentic and open language like they would with another adult or in a book club, and make it sound like a conversation.
I think one of the great things about read-alouds is that you have the opportunity to show whoever you're reading the book to how you feel like the book should be read. And so I think having a chance to reflect back with the students, like, oh, well, how did you feel when I read this certain part of the book? Would you have read it any differently? So having them tease out the reasons for why they think the text wants to be read a certain way, I think is really valuable. I think also it provides a really great opportunity to just practice those deeper comprehension skills so that you can ask students to summarize maybe what you'd been talking about or what part really stood out to them and why it stood out to them.
We've heard a lot about our curriculum at PBS and also in particular some helpful tips for parents and guardians. Can you talk a little bit about how a parent and guardian of an ELC student might think about what they might have learned or listened to today?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in the earliest years, children begin to learn how books work, about directionality, that our print moves top to bottom and left to right. They start to learn about the story arc, how there's some kind of trouble, and then the trouble gets solved. They start to understand that stories have characters, they take place in a specific setting or series of settings, and that there are different kinds of books that just teach or tell about information. So they're building all of these foundational skills way earlier than when they're actually able to read. And those skills empower them once they begin to be able to decode letter sounds into words, to sort of have their feet under them and to understand what they're doing because they already know how books and stories work.
Thanks, Jesse. Corey, do you have anything you'd like to add about how the use of either picture books or listening to an audiobook can help inspire imagination, or how have you used those tools in the classroom?
Yeah, thanks. I think one of the great things about picture books is that it leaves a lot of creativity and a lot of space for students to kind of interpret the story, how they see what the most important pieces. And we tell the story about what we see, and kids internalize that. But then when they're retelling it, they might change certain parts because that's what's important to them. When kids have the freedom to be able to both hear a way that it is interpreted, they also feel the flexibility or the freedom to be able to express their own ideas with that.
Well, thank you all for joining us today as we learn a little bit more about our amazing literacy program. Corey and Jesse, thank you for taking the time to be part of Soundbites today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Alana.